I tell you. But I got something I want to share with all of y'all this morning. And I believe that really, I wish there was some way in the world that I could have went this past week, or if I'd known about it, I could have went Friday, if I could have went Friday night. And I don't know if y'all have heard about it, but down in Burlington, they've had a revival going on down there. And the pastor of the church is Brother Randy Hobbs. The evangelist that's been speaking down there is C.T. Townsend. Now, this Thursday, James went, and I didn't know anything about it until he called me Friday and he was telling me about it. But he says, this past week was the fifth week that they've been in revival. Fifth week. And they're going on again. They keep going on. They're going on this coming week. And they're going to keep on going on until I reckon everybody in the state of North Carolina gets saved. But Brother James says that they was coming from Georgia, coming from Tennessee. Some has been from Florida. That they've heard it by word of mouth and what's going on. And James said that they had one family, and then they had the church van too come, and people in the church, if they fill the van up and they come, and they just come for Thursday night. And they're going to go back Friday. But they come all the way from Alabama. Because they want a desire. They want to get into a meeting where the Lord Jesus was holding. Now, I'll say this much. That Randy Hobbs, I've been to Randy Hobbs' church, and he can seat around 650. That's in the choir, even in the auditorium. Total will be around 650. The first week, they had filled the church up. Since then, they've had 700, 800, and 900 people to come. They've had to put chairs out. They've even had to put chairs out and where they couldn't even see the preacher or the evangelist preaching. But they could hear him. And I tell you, that is something you don't hear much anymore. For 5 solid weeks. Monday through Sunday, every night. And yeah, and I probably can tell you what you're thinking. It's just like what I was thinking too. This old body of mine couldn't handle that for every night for 5 weeks. But you want me to tell you something? If we get in a meeting like that, the Lord's not going to allow these bodies to tire out. The Lord's going to give us strength to keep on going. But people just started coming, and the first week, Brother Randy Hobbs was telling Brother James, says the first week alone that I think they had about 13 or 14 people saved all week. And they said, Brother Randy Hobbs said, he said, you know, the young boy was up there preaching. And here he is, one with 35, 36, maybe 34, 35, 36 years old. evangelist. He's just preaching a simple old message, not getting deep. But James says, you're talking about a fireball. Now he is. He's a preacher. And I mean, he's had other meetings that he was supposed to hold too. James said that he had four other meetings that he had to counsel. That he told them he could not be there, but he invited them to come to that. And he told the pastor, he said, I'm sorry, but I can't come. Because I feel like if I come and hold a revival for you, and that one's still going on, I just feel like that the devil may get in the middle of it. Which Thursday night, the devil wanted to get in the middle of it. James says, he said, them people in there, he said, you talking about people? He said, he wanted a dry eye in the house. People was crying. They was coming to the altar during while he was preaching. Brother James said that while the young boy was up there preaching, says on the other side of the church, opposite side of the church from where he sat at, that he heard something. And it was a lady. Now James says, I'm not saying anything about against her or anything else. But he says, here she was over speaking in tongues. Brother Randy Hobbs, the pastor of the church, he motioned for one of his deacons to go over and speak to her. He did. He went over and spoke to her just as nice as he could be. And he told her, he said, we're a Baptist church. We just don't believe in speaking in tongues. And you would have thought maybe she may would have got up and left, but she didn't. She mind the Spirit of the Lord. She didn't speak no more in tongues. She stayed there for the whole service. And James says that she's been there just about every night. And he said that Burlington had got in touch with Randy Hobbs and told him, he says, now, I know what you're trying to do. And I know what the church is trying to do. And I know what God's trying to do for Burlington. He said, but you know, you don't know it or not, but one of the services, the fire marshal had come to the service. And he didn't come just to see how many people showed up. He just come because he wanted to hear something from God. And he come back and he says, I have got to let the church know that they're going to have to do something else. He's going, right now, if they are in violation. So then what they done, they went out. And they had some people to go and they purchased a tent. And then they had some other people while they was out getting a tent and everything. They didn't even have no place to put the tent. And they just started riding around and everything and just asking people, you know anybody got any land that would allow us to come and put the tent up? The first one he went to said, yes, sir. you can bring the tent here. We'll help you put it up. He said, I got a 6-acre field, nothing on it. And he says, I'll have it mowed time you start putting the tent up. And he said that James said, told me a Friday afternoon when he called me, he said that he had heard then that while they was putting the tent up Friday, one of the workers got saved. He said, people down there, he said, they was getting saved. And he said, some of them down there that was supposed to have been working at night, said they told the boss, says, I'm sorry, says, I'm not missing the service. He said, what kind of service you talking about? He said, we've had revival. And it's been going on, at that time, it'd been going on for 3 weeks. He said, I'm not going to miss no more. He said, I've been to 2 or 3 of them, but I'm not missing no more. You know what the owner of the business done? He announced on the intercom at his place of work that they was closing at 5:00. As long as that revival was going on. And he says, and he told the people, he says, if you will, if it's any way possible, go to it. I'm going to it. I'm going to it as long as it lasts. And I'm going to tell you, that's what we need. We need that in Danville. We need that in Ringo. We need that in Pennsylvania County. We need that in the United States of America. I don't think we'll ever see one as far as having what you call a worldwide revival. But I believe it can start within a local church and it can spread. And it can spread.
Mm. Johnny, didn't they say it was like 100 and some people to help put the tent up?
Yeah. And James said, oh, I think it was Thursday night. I don't know. But he said that somebody told him that one night that they had just a tad over 100 preachers that was there. James said they had that.
151.
Huh? I mean, I ain't never in my life. I mean, it was. I mean, I'm going to tell you. And I know we say, oh, it's hard. There ain't no way in the world like my body can take it. Well, hey, this old body can't take when we go to heaven. That's the reason he's going to give us a glorified body. And I believe what he would do is for something like that. If something like that broke out here, I don't think anybody here would complain about being tired. Why? Because God's going to give you that energy. Amen. I would love to be in a meeting like that. I really would. And I'm not saying it can't happen. It can happen right here. It can happen right here. But if you will, turn into the book of, oh man, where was it at now? Oh man, It's the book of Luke is where it's at. Well, I can't find my notes, so it looks like I may have to wing it.
Don't you have a pew?
No.
In a car?
Nope.
I thought you had
one. I did. They write in the Bible somewhere.
Can't help you there.
Yeah. I took them out and put it right. In the book of Luke, chapter 19, and I'm going to, y'all pray for me because I'm going to try to find out how I can get in touch with him, that evangelist. Because nothing else, we need to do, the city of Dan will need something, and this Ringgold, and we need something. And he is 35 years old. Don't tell me that God ain't raising up some preachers. God's raising up some fantastic preachers. We just need to be submissive unto the Lord. But here in Luke chapter 19, verse 5, he says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. Now, Father, we ask, Lord, that you will take me, Father, and you will take me and hide me behind the cross to where no one can look upon me. But, Father, that they can have their eyes and ears and they can have their whole being focused on none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we just want to thank you. Help us, Father, that we may retain what you've given us, the Father, where we may be able to share it. Give me that fresh anointing from on high this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up." He looked up. When he comes to Faith Baptist Church, as he comes in, as we come in, he looks up and he sees God the Father there, where he's there on the right hand. He sees there where the Holy Spirit has come down. And he sees where that he is coming down also at the time. In each and every service, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, he lowers himself down within his services, where he can meet with people and he can touch the people's hearts. But what it was, it says, where he looked up and he saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house, at thy house." Make haste and come down. We know right here that the Lord Jesus Christ, he had never come, he had never got to right here to where Zacchaeus was at. But we look over in back in chapter 18 and we see where the Lord Jesus Christ, he was coming through and he was going to Jericho. And he was coming, he was on the outskirts of Jericho. And while he was on the outskirts of Jericho, the people started flocking and started thronging him, started just grabbing at him. Because they wanted a piece of his garment. They wanted to say that they had touched the master. But then he did not realize that there was a man that was gonna wanted to touch him, or just wanted Jesus to just acknowledge, just to speak to him, because he was a blind man. He needed to be healed. He needed to be touched. Until the Lord Jesus Christ has touched us, until that time he touched our souls, and where we would realize that we didn't have no other way out but by Jesus. We was in the same condition. We wanted to be where he was at. We got to the point in our life that we didn't know which way to go. But we heard of a man coming by. And the people was gathering. And some people was just, they were just gathering because they were just curious. They wanted to see who he was. Down in Burlington 5 weeks ago, there was people there that wanted to hear something and wanted to see something happen. And they saw it happen. Some people had just come into the church services and says, "Devil, you can do what you want to tonight. It don't make no difference, but I'm obeying the Lord." And they just started rejoicing and thanking the Lord for what he's done for them and where he was going to take them. But they had to stay submissive unto him. They had to stay close to him. And they did. They did, and they started enjoying his services. And then what did they do? They left the services down in Burlington and they went home and they told the family members what was going on and how wonderful the service was. And then as they told the family, then the other part of the family was telling their part of the family that was living away from Burlington, away from North Carolina. And they just heard it by word of mouth. The best kind of advertisement that there is by the word of mouth. We can go out here and we can spend $100, we can spend $10,000 for a newspaper ad. And we can have it so put together in a way that it's going to catch everybody's eye. But the thing about it is, will it catch their heart? Will it catch them in the way that they need to where that they realize that they need to come? They need to come to this service. I understand that Brother Randy Hobbs did not even advertise that much for the revival service. He just put one little ad in the paper. Brother James said to Brother Randy, told him, he said, I want that big ad. He said, but we just had it for that week. We have not put any other ads in the paper. The reason the church and the reason that Burlington right now is in a citywide revival is because of the people's word of mouth. That's the best kind of advertisement that the Lord has, is the advertisement of His people that will go around and tell people and say, you need to come down to the church tonight, says you will never believe what's happening. And they'll come. I mean, I'm going to tell you. When the church didn't hold but 650, and he says that, and Randy Hobbs says, you know, the church has never has been that full before. Never has been full that before that. But he said that first week, people was going out and telling it. Each and every night, that have more people come in. Brother James said that when he talked to Brother Hobbs Friday, he talked to him Friday morning. And he asked him. He said, How long are you gonna let to go on? He said, I'm gonna let to go on as long as God wants us to go. He said, if God wants us to go every day from now till He comes back, fine. I'm not breaking it up. But he said people was telling other people what's going on. And people was coming in and getting saved. He said after that first individual got saved the first week, from that point on, every service they've had somebody saved. 1 week, I think they had about 15 or 16, James said, that were saved. Had one night, 7 come forth and got saved. He says even preachers come and got saved. Now, I'm going to tell you, when a preacher, when he realizes he's lost, and he gets saved, something's going on. And I know down in North Carolina right now, they need a revival. Because of what the laws that has been passed, that Obama says that they will abide by them laws. That every state will abide by them laws, whether they want to or not. Whether they vote on them or not. They will abide by them laws. And that's the new law of the transgender, I mean, where they go in and they can, where the male can go into the female's bathroom and all of that. Even Target here in the city of Danville is allowing it to go on. You think I'm going to go to Target myself and give them 1 red cent? No, I'm not going to give them 1 red cent. If something over there I can get on sale over at Target, if I can get 25, maybe 30% off on it. Then another place here in Danville's got the same product, and it's not on sale. And they're asking $10, $15, $20 more than what normally is. They're the one I'm going to support. I'm going to support the ones that will support God. We done supported Satan too long. And that's what we are doing. Anytime that we go ahead and do some of them things, we're supporting Satan's work. That's the reason the church is in its shape. I'm tired of supporting Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ needs supporting, because he is the one that went to Calvary. He's the one that shed his blood. He's the one that hung on the cross. And he's the one that was laid into a barred tomb, to where he did not even have a place that he could call home. He was placed in a barred tomb. But he told every last one of them, and he even told the ones that took him and placed him on that cross, he said, "I will arise. On the third day, I will come forth. I will arise." And he arose on the third day. And when he arose on the third day, what did they say? "Well, we need to go get the Roman soldiers, because they don't want to, and they don't let him out." You know the reason they said they let him out? It's because his stone was rolled away. He didn't have to roll his stone away. He could have left his stone right there in place. And he could have just had the Roman soldiers still to this day. Says hallelujah. We had him. We got him. He's dead. And Satan doing all he can today. But the reason that he, Jesus Christ, moved the stone himself out of the entranceway was for where the people could come in and look in and see where his linen clothes lie and see that little linen handkerchief, or what you want to call it, that was over his face, folded and placed in another place in that room, to where, glory, where they knew that, "I know he's coming back. I know he's coming back. He's coming back after me. He's coming back after you." Because no doubt he had taught his disciples, he had taught the people back then what the napkin represented. The napkin represented that he was just gone for a little while. Then he would be back and he would finish up his meal. The Lord Jesus Christ, he said, told Zacchaeus here, he said, "Zacchaeus, you must come down out of the tree of criticism. You're always criticizing somebody. You don't need to criticize nobody, because criticism will not get you anywhere. It will not get you to the point to where people will like you. Because people's going to dislike you if you're all the time criticizing something. You don't need to criticize. Because what criticism does, it brings out hatred that is within us. That when somebody criticizes you, we'll say, well, ain't gonna say what they want to. That's all right. I ain't gonna fool with them no more. Let them go and do their own thing. I don't care if it die and go to hell. I mean, that's a basis of the way we look at it. But we should not have no criticism at all. Not only did the Lord ask Zacchaeus to come down from the tree of criticism, but he also asked him to come down from the tree of drowsiness, of slumber. I believe it's one of the worst diseases that we have today, where people will come into the house of the Lord and they will just come in and and not really worry about what's going on. You know, I heard a preacher one time say, matter of fact, it was my pastor, he said one time, this is before we come to Daniel. It says he was preaching at a revival. And it was at his church. He was preaching in revival at his own church. And he said he noticed the individual sitting back, right back there by where Shelby's sitting. And said the reason he noticed and the reason he looked at him, because he heard him. He was in there sawing logs. Sawing logs. And the pastor, he called him out. He said, Brother Jim, says, you ain't know you ain't got to be coming in sawing logs. He said, what do you mean? He said, you've been sawing long the whole service. Says, you ain't heard a thing I said. He said, well, Pastor, he says, if I did not trust you, I wouldn't even come to church here. And he said, I trust you. He said, I trust you for what you're going to say. If I hear it or not, I know it's going to be the truth. He said, I trust you. And from that time on, we had a picking party. We'd always pick on him and everything. But really, we come to church and expecting God to do something. But what God's expecting, God's expecting for us to do something. God's expecting us to show ourselves. Show ourselves in a way that where we know that He is God. Where we know that He has saved us from the penalties of sin. One night I can remember the same pastor. He said something to in the pulpit that night. And he was talking, he said, which other boy, he always did. He drove to Duke every day during the week. He had to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning to get to his job. and it's around Durham down there somewhere. But he come in, hiss all laws. And the pastor told him, he said, "Now, you know," he says, "I really appreciate you trusting me." And he says, "But I want to ask you something. Are you trusting the Lord if the Lord happened to come back while you saw in laws? Are you going home with him then?" He said, "You know, the man, I thought of it that way." He said, "Yeah, I know I'm saved." He said, "But just think about what all you're missing at the last part of us being here. Where we see and we hear about the graves in the graveyard. They just start opening up. You don't see no tractors like that. You don't see no the funeral people like that. You don't see them like that with a backhoe and uncovering the casket. No. That's not going to happen." Says, "They're just going to open up." That's one way. That's one reason. This one reason I don't particularly care about the cremation part. Well, a whole lot of people today is doing it, which I understand is cheaper, and I understand the way society's got and everything, and the cost of everything. I can understand all that. But you know, I go back to the book of Genesis, where he first created man. He created man from what? The dust of the earth. And he breathed in the man's nostril the breath of life. When that grave right there is going to open, when it opens, when he comes back, and when that grave opens, what the grave has is just the dust. Because we know that nobody's there. We know that. But we need to look at it in a different way. There is somebody there. It's the dust from the body. God is preparing the bodies like that. He said, "Dust to dust." He's going to take that dust, and he's going to take it, and he's going to mold it into the same image like he molded us. And he's also going to take the creation that he created again, and he's going to breathe into the nostril of man the breath of life. That's when he's coming back. That's when we get ready to leave. See, the people in the graveyard out here, they have priorities over me and you. The only way that they're not going to have priorities over me and you is if we go and die ourselves before then. But every one of them like that has priority over me and you. Why? Because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then the ones which remain will be caught up together with them. Caught up together with them to enter in through the portals of glory the same time. The same time. That's when the new bodies are going to come about. Zacchaeus, the Lord said, Zacchaeus, you need to come down from the tree of criticism. It says you need to come down out of the tree of drowsiness and slumber. And you need to come down out of the tree of pride. Oh me, pride. I know that we're all Christians here, and we're all here saved this morning, and we know what pride is. But we can't allow pride to sneak in. That we can be too proudful, too boastful. Look at what I done. I ain't done nothing. God's done it all. The Lord also told Zacchaeus, says, Zacchaeus, you come down out of the tree of selfishness. He also told him, he said, I want you to come down out of the tree of unforgiveness. We need that. We need to have that in our own hearts. Forgiveness. Why? Because God has forgave us. So why can't we forgive someone else? Yeah, they may have done us wrong. But he says we don't need to hold on to it. We can come to church. We can come and we come to the front of the church at the altar and we can pray. The Lord help me to forgive this individual or that individual. Help me to forgive them. Help me that way I can help them. See, we've made a church vow. We've made a vow unto God that we're going to do better. That we're going to do what God wants us to do until we get in that situation again. When we get into that situation again, unfaithfulness comes. Unfaithfulness comes and unforgiveness will come. And the last thing right here says, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down out of that tree of sin. Now he said right here, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide well at thy house. At thy house. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He came down from the tree of criticism, the tree that unforgiveness, where he just did not want to forgive people. I think that's one of the hardest things that there is to do. Is forgiveness. Is forgiving somebody. Because somebody, if we're going to forgive somebody, it's because of maybe what they said. About us, or maybe said something to someone else and it got back to you or somebody. And it hurts. Now, it hurts. I don't care who you are, and no matter how strong you are, it hurts. Why? Because we still have this body of sin. It hurts. Verse 8 says, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false acquisition, I restore unto him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's the reason that we come to church. That's the reason that we come to where we can learn something from God's Word, where it can teach us how we can forgive people. We've got to forgive them. If we don't forgive them, then God's not going to bless us. And then we wonder why sometimes God don't bless us. I wonder sometimes why God really don't bless me. Maybe because of that individual that I have been a long time since I thought about. That I did not forgive them. We're all are in denial when it comes down to serving the Lord. We're all in denial because we think that we're Christians. Then we must be doing everything right. No, no. Far from it. Far from it. Because if we was doing everything right, then we would not even have to worry about having a jubilee. We would not even have to worry about having revival. We would not even have to worry about where the money's going to come from to upgrade some of the stuff in the church or do some cosmetic work or even pave the parking. We're not going to have to, we won't have to worry about that. But I think we do because what the Lord is doing, He's doing the same thing to Faith Baptist Church and to me and you. And what He done to Abraham when Abraham was going to have to sacrifice Isaac. He looked at Abraham, He said, "Abraham, your faith is not as strong as it was. And you've went through some hard battles." See, the Lord knows what we've been through. And the Lord knows how much we can take. And you say, "Well, preacher, if the Lord knows how much we can take, says why does He put it on us?" Same way He done Abraham. He wanted to build Abraham's faith back up. And He knew the only way He could do it, what He would have to show. Show it. I still believe to this day. I still have the same vision that I had when I come. that one of these days this church is going to have somebody on all these pews. There's going to be some day when we're going to have to gather and we're going to have to see about the baptistry up here, see if it still works, clean it up. It's the same vision I got. God has not changed that. But sometimes we will change our own vision. Well, see, God put the vision in the Word of God that we would take that vision and grasp it and hold on to it. How many of you, I'm just going to ask you, and I don't want to embarrass nobody or nothing. But in raising your hand, if you don't have to raise it or not, but you just do what the Lord and what you think the Lord would want you to do. How many of us is here this morning that would say, preacher? Because you know, I'm just happy like we're going. Hey, I'm not happy. I'm not happy just to having a few people. And now I'm going to tell you. Now I'm not asking the Lord to bring all these people in here where I can take care of. Because I don't know if I can take care of them. But I know the more people you have, the more problems the church has. But with us, the people right here is a core people. Is a core people. We can help each other to help the others as they come in. I don't want to stay the same. I don't want to lose my vision that God has placed that in me. I have a vision that God still wants to bless this church. I still have the same vision that Brother Poovey had when he first started this work. The Lord spoke to him and he started the work. And he had the vision back then. And I don't think he wavered from that vision at all. Why? Because he stayed here. He stayed here and he taught the people here something. And not only that, and I'm supposed to be here to help and lift you up. And it teaches you something. But you know something? You that are here, y'all have taught me more than I've ever known before, that I've ever learned. Some things you just can't learn from a textbook. Some things you just can't get out here and just read in the Bible and learn yourself. You can learn by other people's examples. You've got the same faith that God wanted Abraham to get a tomb of skin. Our Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And Lord, we just thank you. The Father, where you can show us in your word that different things has happened. And Father, yes, they happen for a reason. Even in the word of God, Father, that it may be used to help us, that we would be more faithful, that we would have more faith than what we've had. And Father, that the vision, Lord, that you've placed within me, I pray, Father, right now, God, that the vision, same vision, where the people will be able to grasp a hold of that vision. And Father, where we can start seeing something happen. I know, Father, that people are talking and all of this and all of that, but let the people talk. But Lord, we know also that we can do what you asked us to do, and we can change the talk within the people. Because Father, even like the dead dad in Burlington, the people here, they can just share what's going on here with the people, a word of mouth. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, for this upcoming week. Father, that you'll give us strength. Father, you just help us each and every night, Lord. And Father, for the preachers that's coming, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the message that you give each one of them. And Father, that they would have a fresh anointing from on high, Lord, on our life. And Father, we pray for that soul that's nearest eternity. The Father, that may come one evening, Father. And yes, Lord, that they cannot turn away. Father, they have to come and accept you as a Lord and Savior. We do thank you for what you're going to do this week. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.